Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Ever feel like planning a trip is almost as fun as taking it? Hotel comparisons, restaurant reservations, a perfectly timed itinerary. What if your love of planning travel could actually become a source of income? As a Fora advisor, it can. Fora is a modern travel agency built for people who love to plan travel and help others travel well. With best-in-class training, powerful booking tech, and a vibrant global community of experts sharing real insider knowledge, you can confidently build your own travel business on your terms, from anywhere. Every hotel, cruise, and experience you book earns you commission. And with access to more than 7,000 preferred travel partners, from iconic brands to boutique gems, you'll unlock VIP perks like upgrades, resort credits, and late checkout. The kind of elevated travel experiences most travelers never get. Now's the time to turn your passion for travel into a fulfilling business with Fora. Become a Fora advisor today at foratravel.com/advisor. That's foratravel.com/advisor.
Welcome to the Forecast One podcast, and you're joining us one day after the Dutch Grand Prix. And I'm being joined, first of all, by Sam. Sam, how have you been and how have you enjoyed this weekend?
Well, I've been good. I think it was a nice rest for all of us during the summer break, but glad to be back and excited to talk about the Dutch Grand Prix.
Yes, also very excited to do so. And we're being joined by Luis Tirado. Luis, you are the owner of Boxdog PR. You actually joined us two previous times on our podcast, actually during the two previous seasons that we have been recording the podcast. You were here in for the episode of Singapore 2023 and for Hungary 2024. So I'm very glad to have you back. How have you been doing in the meantime, and how did you enjoy this weekend?
Hi, Sam. Hi, Anton. Really excited to be here. I think I appreciated the summer break a little bit because we as a content creators, we are like really exhausted because of this whole F1 calendar. But I think I'm fine for the moment. And regarding the Dutch Grand Prix, I think it was like a bittersweet. For some instances, it was like a very slow pace race, but then with the safety car and everything, it like improved a little bit the excitement of the Grand Prix. So excited to be here and excited to talk about the Dutch Grand Prix.
No, I agree. In a certain way, the race needed the safety cars. It needed well, the things that happened, and I'm sure we'll delve into that. Sam, I would like to start first just talking a little bit about the stats for Forecast, and then we will go into the highlights of the Grand Prix.
Sure.
I'll tell you both, because you will need this information later on in the quiz. We'll also look back at the previous quizzes that the two of you played against one another, but we'll get to that in a little bit. First, we had 1,408 people playing the game. And as I always do, I'm going to ask both of you how many people you think predicted this very podium with Piastri, Verstappen and Hadjar.
Wow.
That's a good question. And I knew you were going to ask that because, I mean, what a podium. But I'm going to say nobody chose it. That's my thought.
I will say five people.
Yeah, that's too good to be true. There was indeed nobody that predicted this podium. And it was, like you said, Sam, quite an exciting one. I'm sure, well, there's a lot of material to talk about there. Overall, I would say with the drivers that ended up in the top 10, it was quite unpredictable. We had a average score that even surprised me slightly. It was 33.7. I guess Piastri winning the race somewhat jacked up the points. But before we go into the winners of this weekend, I would like to announce, and I think most of you have already seen that, but we have an update for the app. And the Forecast app now also includes, although we won't be predicting yet for this season, but for next season, we will be predicting also MotoGP. So that will be added for 2026. You can see in the ranking. I was going to ask you later on, Sam, what are your thoughts? But you got ahead of me there.
Sure did.
Yeah. So we also get to see in our rankings after the race, in the standings, we get to see how many places we gained or lost compared to previous weekend. So I think that will be a nice addition. We always reminded each other of how many places we gained or lost in the podcast, but now everyone can see that for themselves. And there's a couple of other things that have improved, but the next thing that I was going to ask you is, are you excited to get a whole new separate competition, a championship for Forecast in the app for next year?
Of course. I think that it's a great addition, and it will be something that's quite exciting because it's another element, another level of competitiveness. And, you know, MotoGP is something that is quite well known in many pockets of the world. So I think that it will be a great complement to already what is Forecast One.
Are there any people that watch MotoGP in Puerto Rico, Luis?
Yeah, some of them. It's not like really popular right now, but their fan base is increasing a little bit because of the Liberty Media and F1 like merge. So I think it will be like getting a little bit of fan base, but at this moment most of them are more related to IndyCar and other categories from motorsports. So yeah,
we will see how it goes. I do think it will grasp a different audience, for instance, in Asia, because there's many countries there where MotoGP is more popular than Formula One. But we will see, and we will talk about that a little bit in the future. Let's first go back to the Grand Prix at Zandvoort this weekend and have a look at who are our Forecast winners for this weekend. So actually, on the podium with a shared P2, two players from the two African countries with the most players in Forecast. On P2, with 61 points, we had Frank Mvoi from Kenya, and we also had Kabwe Chipopola from Zambia. So those two scored 61 points. As you see, we usually have podiums with a lot more points. So 61 is relatively low. That already tells you that we're not going to have any new high scores this weekend. And the winner for this weekend on P1, and it's a first Swedish win in Forecast, it's Marcus Talbrandt from Sweden with 64.8 points.
Oh, very nice.
We also had a first top 20 finished for someone from Kazakhstan on P15. We had Noel Kos. And talking about countries, Sam, I always ask you which countries had the most players in Forecast this weekend. So I'm going to give you a clue this time. The three countries are in three different continents.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's going to make it a little more challenging, isn't it?
They usually are.
Well, okay. I'm going to say in no particular order, Kenya, Mexico, and let's go with Spain.
All right. Well, at least those three are indeed in different continents. It's not completely correct. It's indeed Kenya with 87 players. On second place, we have Spain with 72. And on place three, and that's not the first time they're featuring in the top three this season, it's India with 63 players.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was going to ask you, too, how many people you think played from Canada this weekend. We're also keeping track of that throughout the last couple of races.
Yes. I am going to go with 21.
Oh, wow. That's indeed correct. That's the right answer.
No, come on.
Let's see. Yeah, it is. Let's see if Luis is on his on good form today as well. How many people from Puerto Rico do you think played the game this weekend?
I think at least 10.
Just shy of 10. Unfortunately, it was 7 people.
Okay.
So time to get some more Puerto Ricans to start playing. But We do have a couple of people that that are playing quite consistently, and we're going to actually look a little bit later at how we rank in our countries. But let's first have a look at the general ranking. And we have on P1 Filippo Morelli, and he scored 36 points. And Filippo stays on that P1 position. He now has a total of 793.4 points. So the lead is still for Italy going into the Italian Grand Prix, of course, next weekend. On P2, we had another Italian. We had Paolo Ginamo, but he scored only 25 points and drops to P4. So it goes from P2 to P4. And that means that who were previously on P3 and P4 now have a chance to go up in the ranking. So our previously placed P3, Rylan Harris from Australia, scores 31 points and moves up to P2. And Cesar Hortua from Colombia scores 29.5 points and moves up from P4 to P3. So that's the current ranking in our championship. As I mentioned, we don't have any new high scores, but I do want to look at some of our collaborations. And at the pregame Motorshop merchandise, they actually handed out a prize for the summer break leader. That was Edward Nejal, and he got a prize. He was able to pick one of the Formula One team hats, and he went with a cap from Nico Hülkenberg in the Steak Sauber color. So congratulations to Edward. We also look at our F4 drivers that have been predicting. We had two new junior drivers who joined for this weekend. We had Theo Schrupp, who is an Argentinian driver in F4 Italy, who made his first prediction this weekend. And we had Aditya Kulkarni in British GB3. He drives in previous seasons, he was driving under the Indian flag. He's currently driving under the British flag. And looking at all of our junior drivers on P1 this weekend, with the most amount of points, 40.3 points, Alexander Munoz from F4 France. And on P2, we had George Sebastian Pavlopoulos. I need to, of course, be a little bit better on pronouncing names, but that's a reoccurring theme. He drives in F4 Nordic, and he's from Greece. He scored 40 points. And on P3, Theo Schrupp, who joined for the first time this weekend and finds himself on P3 for the weekend on his debut with 38.5 points. So very exciting, but of course, even more exciting is looking at our own scores. So I think, as always, we're going to kick it off with Samantha's scores. And Samantha, what were your top three this weekend? What did you go with for the podium?
You know, it's funny because the who I chose in third, I've actually, when I was watching the race, I completely forgot who it was, and I didn't go back and check because of the chaos of the results, and I was excited to actually see who it ended up being, because I know it wasn't correct, but I do know that I went with Piastri Norris. Third, I feel like I went with Leclerc.
Yes, you did indeed go with a Leclerc P3. So in the end, you ended up scoring 40.8 points. And actually, part of the reason why you still got a decent point haul was because you had Russell on P4. So you had him on the correct spot. So that, of course, got you 12 points. Actually, I think also something that is worthwhile mentioning, you scored half a point for Ocon. You had Ocon on P9. I thought that was quite good. You ended up P290. I'm pretty sure in an average weekend of forecast with 40.8 points, you're not going to end up on 290. But with a weekend with where a lot of people scored very few points, you scored far above the average with an average of 33.7. So actually, in a championship, you're also gaining places. And as I mentioned in the app, you can now see how many places you gained. You go from P67 to P54, so you're close to reaching the top 50. Yes.
Oh, that's so cool. Well, I'm very happy about that.
And Sammy is the best ranked among us, so you have to be very happy about that, because I think I'm the one that sucks really at this prediction app. So.
Oh, trust me. I've had a rough. I've definitely had a few really rough races, and so it happens to the best of us.
Well then, Luis, I mean, enlighten us. How did you predict for Zandvoort? What was your podium?
I think with my explanation before, I think that I give you like a little hint about that. But I predicted Norris, Piastri, and Alonso was the top three. The app was like really great to me, and they gave me 12.5 points for Piastri, so I only scored with Verstappen.
That's right.
And
that's
Russell,
right.
So,
yeah, I was looking at your list, and there was very few drivers that you scored any points for at all.
Yeah.
But you're right. You had Piastri on P2, so 50% of the 25 points went your way. You got to a total score of 23. You were P1,245,
mm-hmm.
and unfortunately, as you were saying, yeah, both of us are quite far behind Samantha in the ranking. You dropped 28 places. You went from P362 to P390. Mm-hmm. So still in the top 400, but yeah, not such a great weekend. But I guess, you know, I'm somewhere in a similar ranking. I actually predicted Norris Piastri as well as the 1-2, and I went with Verstappen on P3. So at least that was close to where he finished. I also had Russell on P4, and I ended up getting Alonso correct on P8. I scored 37.5 points, ended up on P460, and I go from P398 to P292, so I'm gaining 106 places, which is quite a lot. And we're somewhat close to one another, Luis, so that's going to be interesting for the rest of the season. I was going to ask, do you guys know how you're placed within your country? So, Sam, do you know in the ranking of Canada, where are you placed? And Luis, same question for you in Puerto Rico.
That's a really good question. And the answer is no, I do not know where I am placed.
No, not for me either also.
Okay, well, I will enlighten both of you then. Sam, you are currently the fourth Canadian in the ranking.
Ooh,
you're on P4.
Okay.
And Luis, you are currently the third Puerto Rican in the rankings, so on P3.
Yeah, podium. But I think you guys have to do another app, because I think with these predictions that I have, maybe it would be better if I rank it like 2,000 or more. So for that type of prediction missing, you have like to make another type of app for the losers or something like I am right now. So it could be better for that way.
Well, I mean, you're on the podium in your country, Sam.
Yeah.
You're very close to being on it. I'm actually currently ranked 22nd in the Netherlands. So I ranked 22nd in the full rankings for last year, and I'm now 22nd only in my country. So I think the two of you are doing a little bit better in that regard. But I think that's more than enough about our scores themselves. I think it's time to start talking a little bit about the race. And what we've done in previous episodes, and I will do it again now, is ask both of our guests who their driver of the day is. And actually, Sam and I have been agreeing on this for the previous three races, if I'm not mistaken. And I have a slight feeling that we might agree on this one too.
I don't think it's going to be a shocking answer, to be honest, in terms of mine. Without a shadow of a doubt, it's going to be Isaac. I mean, what can we say about that? Standing on the podium as a rookie driver, he has to take driver of the day. All around, a fantastic weekend for him, qualifying and in fourth, coming onto the podium at P3, just a flawless drive. And that is my driver of the day.
I think we all of us will agree with Isaac Hadjar. It's really awesome what he did, his first podium on F1. He was like really really near Max Verstappen the whole race, and he keeps improving. He also showed why he's the principal candidate for that second seat on Red Bull for the next year. So it will be Isaac Hadjar.
All right. Well,
actually, let me ask
you
this.
I
was going to say, just as a piggyback question to that, And you know what? I will actually await and ask this after, Anton, you give your driver of the day. Because I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, all I was going to say is that, yeah, it's difficult not to go with Hadja when he you know, gets his first podium of his career. I do think that actually there are a couple of... But of course, you know, with the drivers that end up in the top 10, I think there are a couple of noteworthy mentions. For example, Beerman starting from the pit lane, being the only one that does a one-stopper and finishes P6. Albon on P5, even though we've hardly seen him during the race. I think he already got 5 positions at the start and then during the race gained another 5. Stroll out of nowhere, starting P19, ending up on P7, ahead of Alonso. I don't know what happened there. So there are a couple of shouts, but then again, I do need to agree that, yeah, the whole Hadja performance for the overall weekend, not just the race, but also, yeah, the qualifying session. I mean, what a weekend. And what a result. And yeah, all right, I'll get in line and I'll go for Hadja as well. So Sam, what were you going to ask?
Well, my question was going to be, I mean, I don't know if we see historically, or at least up until for a considerable period of time, we see that second driver's seat in Red Bull is always one that is not warm for long, let's just say. And we've seen consistently time and time again a lot of drivers struggle in that seat. And of course, we could dive into the questions as to why. But my question is more so, do we want to see him in that second seat for Red Bull next year? Or as a rookie, do we feel like he would maybe have more of an opportunity staying with Racing Bulls?
Go ahead, Anton.
No, Luis, I want to hear from you.
You know you will say that. I think I prefer that he stays at Racing Bulls, specifically because of the Red Bull environment, Helmut Marko, that treat him really poorly at the beginning of the season. But the problem with Red Bull is that once you say no to that seat, you will not get any other opportunity to that. So I think by pressure, Hadjar will have to take that seat. I think he could be prepared, but the problem is the same that always was at Red Bull, that they only made one car specifically for Verstappen. And I don't know if Hadjar like really will be maybe times Checo Perez performance or something, but I think Hadjar will have to take that seat because of the pressure that the Red Bull environment push him. So that's, I don't agree that he will go to, I don't prefer that he go to Red Bull, but I think that will be the scenario.
Yeah, I think you make a good point there with the pressure. I think, I'm wondering, is it even possible for him to say no? Because like you said, I mean, if you say no one time, you can't, you know, you can't go back. Other than that, I think that most drivers have enough self-belief and arrogance, thinking that, yeah, the guy that went before me didn't do it, but I'll be able to do it. So I think that as a driver, you do need to have that confidence. And I guess if you are in Red Bull and you are contracted by Red Bull, I mean, the ultimate goal is to be in the flagship team. So I do think that he should take the opportunity. And if I look at it, you know, if you take all the years consecutively, then probably the best year to actually get into that Red Bull is with a regulation change. So, of course, if, you know, we've seen it this year with Lawson going into the Red Bull, of course, in a Red Bull that Verstappen knows very well. Next year, it's going to be, of course, like Lewis is saying, the car is definitely going to be built towards Verstappen's preference, but it's going to be a slightly different situation. So if we need to pick a season that is going to be the best season to start as a new driver in that second seat, I do think it is going to be 2026. So I do think he should take that opportunity. Although, yeah, I'm personally a little bit disappointed by Yuki not performing a little bit better. I mean, I guess it was to be expected that he was never going to beat Verstappen in that Red Bull, but at least finish in the points a little bit more often, even though he did finish in the points this weekend. But of course, I think you need to sum up that, you know, finishing P9 with DNFs of Hamilton, Leclerc, Norris, you know, that point scoring position could very well have gone in a different direction. So, you know, talking about all those DNFs, I think it is time to talk a little bit about the race in somewhat of a chronological order. So I think the first thing to start with is the initial overtake that Verstappen had on Norris, Sam. And well, first of all, what did you make of that move? And second of all, were you confident that Norris would be able to regain that second place pretty quickly after the overtake?
Yeah, I think that it was just because of the pace of the McLarens. I would have assumed that it was only a matter of time for Norris to be able to make that move, and that's likely why also Max was so aggressive in the very beginning of the race. I thought that it was a very bold move, and I mean, he is well known for making bold moves, but fantastic start for Max. I thought that it was exciting. It was one of the most exciting, I think, parts of the race itself in when it comes to the start. So was really entertained by that. And yeah, I mean, it was only a matter of time. What I thought was really exceptional as well was the part where the section where he had that snap and then he recovered the car and just kept going. I think it's just his skill and his ability to react is, and his confidence in the car is just unparalleled. And in moments like that, or in moments of the start of the race, you really see that defined. So I thought it was a fantastic start. Again, wasn't surprised eventually by Lando overtaking. And I mean, realistically, Lando was pretty strong going into this weekend, and he was at the top of everything. And it was up until qualifying, obviously, where Piastri kind of took it over. So he was definitely a strong contender going into the race this weekend. Of course, his race did not come to the finish that he was expecting. I don't know if that's something I think that maybe we might as well get into. But to talk about Lando as well, he was keeping pace, but unfortunately the DNF really, I think, was quite catastrophic for him when it comes to the Drivers' Championship, because of course we are so close between the two drivers in McLaren, and then for him to not even finish outside of the points, and not even finish with any points for that matter, and Piastri obviously being able to win the race, that's quite a big jump. That's going to make it a lot more difficult for him to catch up as we get towards the end of the season. Lewis, what was your thoughts when it came to the start of the race? Was there anything notable as well that you would take from it?
Well, we know that Verstappen is the best driver that has the best start in any race. I think he's the best driver on the whole F1 grid when the race starts, specifically with that first thing. Also, Alonso, I think, is the second one that has shown us many times that he has a lot of acceleration technique. But I'm not surprised about he overtook Lando Norris, because Lando is one of the drivers that loses the most positions in the start. So I'm not surprised by that. Verstappen, if he has the car, he will get near the first places every time that he can. And it's the type of driving technique that he has, that aggressive style that is almost the same as, or some of the analysts in F1 says that he's the modern Ayrton Senna. So I'm not like surprised by that. But the problem that I see is that Lando keep failing, specifically in the race start. And if he wants to win a championship, he can't do that. You saw that Oscar Piastri was more stable. He didn't have any problems in the race start. But Norris, that is the problem. I think Norris, like you said, he was at the top of his form in the whole weekend except the qualifying. I think, in my opinion, that Lando Norris is more faster than Oscar Piastri, but the problem is that he made a lot of mistakes. He's more emotional than Oscar Piastri. Piastri is more consistent, and he show what he's the championship leader with 30 points, a 30-point gap, a 34-point gap between he and Lando. So McLaren has the best car, but I don't know. I am a Lando Norris fan, but I don't know if Lando has the mental strength like to fight with Oscar Piastri at this moment, specifically because of the result that we are going to talk later on.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good analysis of the two McLaren drivers, and you're right, the 34 point gap is pretty large. I mean, if Norris would have won this race, there would have been only a 1 point difference, but 34 points is a whole lot of points. So very sad to see that, because regardless of who you think is the better driver, of course, we don't want to see championships decided. I'm not saying it's decided yet, but you don't want to see championships decided by engine failures or these sort of things. But yeah, going back a little bit to the start, of course, at the start of the race, I was definitely hoping for a little bit of rain during the weekend, and we had hardly seen any yet up until the point of the race. Actually, it's funny because one of the more popular Dutch podcasts on Formula One had actually said that it's going to be the wettest day in the year in the Netherlands. They actually misread the prediction. The prediction was that it might be the wettest Formula One weekend of the year, not the wettest weekend in the Netherlands. So a lot of people listening to that podcast, apparently, I heard that the poncho sales were up by a whole lot because of that, because everybody was prepared for a lot of rain. It wasn't a whole lot of rain. There was a bit of rain. There was always a threat of rain. And of course, we did see that the rain had some effect. Of course, I guess all over it made the track slightly more slippery than it would have been if it wouldn't be drizzling a little bit. And of course, trying to go through it chronologically, we had Hamilton who crashed out, who went, I guess, with a little bit too much speed into Hoegh-Nolds, and he just clipped the barrier there and damaged the front right and crashed. And unfortunately for Ferrari fans, that wasn't the only DNF we were going to see. Actually, the Hamilton crash, I do think, had somewhat of a positive spin-off for us, because I do think that Hadjar would have had a lot more difficulty defending if we wouldn't have had that safety car, because he was going to be there was two drivers behind him who were trying to undercut him, one of them being Russell, who of course at the end had some damage towards his car because of things that happened later on in the race. But if we wouldn't have had that safety car, Hadjar would have had a stop that would have been slightly more tricky and would have cost him more time, especially against Leclerc, who pitted a lap earlier than he did. And I think that all these things, because of Hamilton also crashing and the safety car, that put Antonelli and Leclerc much closer to each other, who later on would crash again. And in the meantime, before that, we had that little fight between Russell and Leclerc. Wanted to know from both of you what you made of that, because I think that was a quite an exciting battle between the two drivers, and just on the edge or just over the edge. How did you view that, Sam?
I thought it was fantastic. It was one of the more exciting battles that we saw, and I think that even taking it when it comes to Russell's overall performance this weekend, I think he had a pretty solid day. Finishing P4, the tire strategy he had himself, being able to have the little battles, and I think for him it was an overall solid result. And yeah. It's always nice to see those little battles. Lewis, what was your thoughts?
Well, specifically for Hadjar, I think he learned a little bit from Alonso from being a stopper because everyone behind him was like really slow. So Hadjar did like a really great job, like stopping everyone else. George Russell is the guy that you don't know how he finished the position that is the invisible guy, but in Zandvoort he really like had a pace, maybe a P4 pace specifically. So I think Russell did like really great. I think he's like a little bit more concerned of the issues that are outside of his control, specifically with Toto Wolff negotiations, Max Verstappen negotiations, and that everything. But Russell keeps demonstrating why he's consistent, why he is a top five driver on F1, and his battle with Leclerc that was a little a really later. I think like Leclerc said, he always pushed to the limit. He always like is a very hard guy or hard driver to get past or to pass by. So Russell is very like consistent, and I'm not like a Mercedes guy, but he's like among the best drivers on the grid, maybe on the top three without the car.
And the other Mercedes driver actually had a pretty rough end of his weekend. Of course, touching Leclerc there, Leclerc himself thereby being very unlucky and had to DNF, but also Antonelli getting a 10-second penalty. He also got a 5-second penalty for speeding in the pit lane, so he would finish completely outside of the points. So I guess, yeah, from the four drivers from Mercedes and Ferrari, you are right. Russell is the one that always seems to end up magically appearing close to the podium or on the podium. Something completely different. What about the Sainz penalty? What did the two of you make of that?
Lewis, you go first. I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Well, specifically with Sainz, he's well, he was arguing that, or specifically Lawson argued that he was in the vortex, he was ahead. I think that rule is like specifically maybe in some cases very stupid because you are not measuring the damage that you are doing to the other driver. That's the problem. I thought when I saw that race that it was Lawson's fault the entire time, and Lawson has the attitude that he is like very taking to the limit every battle. If he has to contact with the other driver, he does it. But he agreed with Carlos Sainz that penalty was unfair. So the only argument that he has was that, well, the rule is like that, so I don't have anything else to say that I agree with you. So I think he recognized that he was the guilt, that he had the guilt on this accident or on this incident. But I think Carlos Sainz has a lot of pressure. It's a bad year for him. I think he was a little bit overconfident with Albon, and I think that maybe it's some of his frustrations right now that he thought that he was that he will overpass Alex Albon, but it's really frustrating for him. So, and he was in the points. He was, I think, at that moment P6, P7. So it's really frustrating for Carlos Sainz. But yeah, that happens. So I don't have anything else to say because I'm a Carlos Sainz fan and I'm like really frustrated because of him. But yeah.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I mean, I think he clearly misjudged Lawson's positioning, and there wasn't really a lot of space. And you know, it's unfortunate for both drivers, and especially for Sainz, because it cost Williams. I mean, Williams has had some trouble as of recently, and they've had ups and downs this year, and I think that there's been a lot of really great shining moments as a team. And then, you know, this would have been a great recovery in consideration as to how they kind of ended before the summer break, where, you know, Albon obviously finished in the points, had a fantastic drive, and Sainz had an opportunity to do that as well, gaining them double points. But unfortunately, this situation just provided not that outcome. Do I think a 10-second penalty? I mean, 10-second penalty is a lot. However, at the same time, I think that he misjudged the positioning, and as a result, that's why this happened. And Tom, what were your thoughts about it?
Well, I do think that it was harsh, and especially comparing the two penalties, if I compare this one to Antonelli, then I thought that the Antonelli 10-second penalty was actually very soft. I think I understand that anyway, you know, he gets out of the points, so it doesn't really matter. But 10 seconds for that and 10 seconds for Sainz. I thought that the Sainz one was very, very harsh. Talking about penalties, something else that we learned after the race was that Hamilton speeded under a double yellow. So he will have a 5-place grid penalty for the race in Italy next weekend. So for all of you thinking about their predictions, that is something to take into account. All right, so it's that time of the episode that we start to think about doing a quiz. And actually, I have done my research this time because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, Luis has been on our podcast twice before. So I was going to ask both of you if you recall what the scores were in the previous quizzes.
I think Sam overpassed me every time, so we don't have to talk more about that, but I think that's the same result. So,
well, it's actually, but it is interesting, one specific aspect of it. So let's go back into it. We were on a podcast together when we did the Singapore 2023 race, which was actually a very exciting one. That was one where Carlos Sainz won, if you all remember. That was the Red Bull dominant season where Sainz picked out that win in Singapore with Russell crashing on the last lap. Anyway, we did the quiz and we ended up, indeed, it was a Sam win, 8-3. Of course, we were still playing the fastest lap point back then. And the interesting thing is that after that, a year later in Hungary, that was the Piastri win where Piastri and Norris switched on the last lap. And the score, the outcome of the quiz was exactly the same result. And I need to give credits to Luis because actually listening back to the episode right after we finished the quiz, you actually mentioned that you think it's the same result as last time. And I sound a little bit skeptic saying that, oh yeah, well, we'll look into it and we'll get back to that. And of course, we never came back to that, but you were actually right. So we are getting back to it. It's a long-term story, but credit where credit is due. So you were right. Your memory actually is quite well, but unfortunately your quiz capacities up until this point not yet. But you have another chance to and actually at the end of that Hungarian episode we were saying that we will give you a rematch against Sam, so long due, but here it is. So let's get started. I am going to ask you, and for those that don't listen regularly, I'm going to explain what we do. So we're going to go over the 10 point position finishes of the race in Zandvoort, and we are going to predict, well, we being Sam and Luis, you're going to predict how many people correctly had each driver on the correct spot. I will say again, we had 1,408 people playing the game, and of course we start with P1, Piastri for Sam. Sam, I'm going to go and let you go first. You also correctly predicted that there were zero people who had a correct podium, so take it away.
All right. I am going to go with, I would consider a big number here, and I'm going to say 675.
I will go with 750.
All right, those are both good guesses, but interestingly, it was only 515 people. So close to only a third of the people went with the Piastri win. So that means that the first point is going to go to Sam. But Luis, there's still 9 points to be scored. So I'm going to get you, let you go first on Verstappen on P2.
I think 600.
Okay. And I am going to go, I'm going to go pretty low here. I'm going to say 125.
Okay, Lewis, this is going to go in the same direction as the previous two times. So you need to...
I know. I'm expecting that entry. Don't worry. I'm expecting that.
It was 158 people only. So Sam, pretty close. We're going to go to Hajar on P3.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with nobody.
Luis, do you dare to say anything else?
Three.
All right, and that pays off because it was two people.
Really? Two people? And I think at this point we should obviously mention who those two people were.
Yes, well, I have written down bonus questions, but I have another bonus question, so we can get into that. I was going to ask you as one bonus question, how many of those two people are French? I'll give you the right answer. There was one person who was who is French. That's Nathan Delon. And also somebody from Mexico, Juan Silva. So two people who actually predicted a Hajar P3. Myself, I was very surprised to see that. So Luis, this point counts for you. It's a very good one. And it's your turn to also go to Russell on P4. How many people went with that?
Russell with P4, I think maybe 450.
Okay, I'm going to go with 201.
That means we're two against two. This one was pretty close, Luis. It was you're only 41 away from the right answer. There were 409 people that went with a Russell P4. So it's two against two. That means, Sam, you're up for Albon on P5.
All right, I'm going to go with 36 people.
I'm going to with 20.
Sam, it's time to step up your game because Lewis is ahead of you now.
Oh, no.
There were 11 people that went with an Albon P5, so that means the 20 is closer, actually only 9 away from the right answer. Well done, Lewis. And you can sit back now and, well, it's actually up for you to say how many people had P6 Beerman, so you can't sit back, but you can be a little bit more relaxed because you're ahead of Sam.
I think 10 people.
I am going to go with 15.
All right. That means Luis now has 4 points on his tally.
Oh, my gosh.
There was nobody. Nobody that went with Beerman on P6. So 10 is still closer to 0 than 15. So, surprisingly, well, I don't know if that surprises anyone. I mean, Beerman hadn't scored points for a very long time. Actually, in a regular race, he hadn't scored since Bahrain. He did score in the sprint in Belgium. But and I do need to say he did finish like P11 four times in a row or something. But P6 was a bit of a surprise to all of the forecast players. Nobody predicted that. So we're two against four, Sam. So you really do need to get going now.
Step it up.
But of course, we get to your favorite driver on the grid on P7, and that was Lance Stroll.
I'm actually going to...
I'm going to continue to push that one through
you
your
throat. You always do.
That it's your favorite driver, so...
What I'm going to do is I'm actually going to repeat the actual result of the Ollie Bearman. I'm going to say that nobody went with Stroll in P7.
He's the immortal. He's the driver with the only longest contract in the F1 history. So I think three people.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, of course, we have a deadline after the second practice session. And in the first practice session, Lance Stroll made it to P3. So I think there was actually a decent amount of people that were getting their hopes up. I've seen Stroll on a lot of different spots. I've seen people put him on the podium for this weekend. There were 95 people that had him on P7, guys.
No way.
Wow.
Yes.
I'm actually very surprised by that. That's one of the most surprising results, to be honest, I think I've ever heard.
I don't recall the number that Louis said, but I remember, Sam, you said zero. So regardless of what Louis said, he scored more points, I think. You went with three or something. What did you say?
Three.
Yes. So that's another point for Louis. It's two against five. Sam, you need to score the three remaining points. Pressure's on the pressure's on you now.
I suppose it is.
To be fair. So, you know, it's time to predict the other Aston Martin, Louis. And I know you had him on P3. I had him on P8. So at least one person had him on P8, on the correct place. Mm-hmm. How many other people than me?
I think 50 people. 50 people.
Okay. Judging by the Stroll result, I really don't know at this point. I'm gonna go up, and I'm gonna say 82.
Nice. That makes it that makes it still interesting, because it was 144 people. So that's another point for Sam. We're three against five. You're still in the running, and you're up for Tsunoda on P9.
All right, let's go with 112.
I think 80 people.
That's a point for Sam. It was 162, so it's four against five. So it really comes down to the last Haas, P2, that he would only dream of, P10, Ocon. let's see if we can get to the bonus question. So P10, Ocon, that one's for Luis.
I think 100 people.
Okay, I'm going to go with 73.
It was 42 people, so that means the score is indeed 5 against 5.
Ooh, and we tie. Look at that.
Yes, so that's it doesn't happen too often. And that means we actually get to play the bonus question, not just for fun, but actually this time it's going to be an important one to get right. So we already established that there were 515 people that had Piastri on P1. I told you that there were 1,408 people who played the game. So that means that we have 893 people remaining that did not put Piastri on P1. And my question will be, so how many people had Norris on P1? So out of this 893 people that we don't know yet, who they put on P1, how many put Norris on P1? So what if Norris would have won? How many people would have gotten that right? I don't know, Sam, you go first.
I'm going to stick to 212.
I'm going to guess 250.
Okay, well, in all of my haste to set up for the episode, I have not written down the correct answer. but I do remember it was somewhere in the 700. So there were actually this weekend more people that went with a Norris P1 than there were people that went with a Piastri P1. So I think if I listen to your answers, Luis went with more than Sam, you did, 250. The answer, I'll tell you next episode. It was somewhere in the 700s. Unfortunately, I don't have my data file open right now. So I'll tell you later on. But you're gonna have to trust me. It was in the 700s. So that means that I count a win for Luis for this weekend. So overall, three matches played. It's two against one for you, Sam. But Luis has the momentum.
So I think miracles exist. So
that is true. Miracles do happen.
Miracles that really exist. Yeah.
Well, it was a good match, and you guys were very, very closely matched. We don't need to wait too long for the next race. So we've had a summer break, but we're going to get into them thick and fast now. So we're going to go to Italy for the next race. We're going to go to Monza, and we're going to see who wins the Temple of Speed. And I want to hear from the two of you. What are you looking forward to? And I would also like to hear a little peaky spoiler about your predictions for next weekend.
Oh, well, I am going to say this, which we actually didn't really come to think of it, put too much energy into, but I mean, it's in Monza. I really hope that Ferrari is able to redeem themselves after this weekend, where both drivers did not finish. So really hoping that we see a Ferrari strong result, and that
Well,
is
there's a Hamilton grid penalty, so it's not a really good start of the weekend
that
for
is a
Lewis
very
there.
good point. He does have a grid penalty, but you never know what can happen, right? I mean, look at the situation dating back a few years ago to Ricciardo winning Monza in the McLaren and having a really difficult season. So anything can happen, but it would be nice to see them in at least at best maybe one of the Ferrari drivers, likely Leclerc if it's going to be anybody, but on the podium in Monza. It's always it would be a great thing to see. But I think ultimately, I mean, Monza, it's the temple of speed, as you said, Anton. It carries a lot of history. It carries obviously an electric excitement with the fan base there, and there's always surprises at Monza, it seems to be. So I don't think this, at least I would like to expect that this weekend will be no different. And so I'm looking forward to it. As for
What
my.
about an Antonelli podium, Luis?
Well, it would be really great if Antonelli like makes a podium here in Monza, but I think he has a lot of pressure right now. I think with Zandvoort result, I don't know if Antonelli will make a podium, but I think he will deliver here. Specifically, he needs to redeem himself after the FP1 last year that he had a incident, specifically when Hamilton was at Mercedes. So I think Leclerc could deliver here. Hamilton, I think he will make a great comeback, but I don't see him in a podium, at least at Monza. I think this race, Lando Norris needs to step in because he's the only candidate for the championship, battling with Oscar Piastri. Oscar Piastri has the momentum, but Monza, it's a circuit that Lando Norris had more, like better results. So I'm thinking that Norris could be delivering him here a win, but I don't know if this circuit will be the perfect one that we could see a DNF, double DNF of the McLaren guys. It will like really make everything more interesting, specifically with the McLaren dominance. What I am not looking forward to is the rumor leak t-shirts and everything that for Ferrari, the blue clothing. I don't like really like that much, but I'm not like really looking forward to that specific. So I think the prediction will be related to that. So
Anton?
Yeah, I
Nice.
think
Oh,
I'm
he's
just
there.
I'm just thinking about my yeah, I'm thinking about what I'm going to predict. I can make a prediction now, and I can say that, well, Lewis just got an idea there that the McLarens are going to crash. I would like to see that actually, Norris and Piastri come together. It's Norris' fault, but actually Piastri DNFs. Norris does not DNF, so actually he's at fault, but he can continue to go. He doesn't make it to the podium. He still gets a P4, so scores 12 points, and Piastri doesn't score any, so he gets closer to him in a championship, and we get a podium without any McLaren drivers on it. But I do need
Wow.
to say I am not going to predict this. I'm just, I'm now already thinking which McLaren driver I'm going to put on P1. I always seem to put the wrong one there. Every time Norris wins, I had Piastri. Every time Piastri wins, I had Norris. So, well, you guys tell me who do you want to win, and I'll put the other one. I don't think if that makes any sense, but I will actually probably go with a Piastri win. And if Norris wins it, then he gets closer to Piastri in the championship, so that might be good. But Sam, in all the talking, I did not hear who you were going to put on P1.
Well, I mean, after that little description about where you want McLaren to sit, I mean, I don't know. I think that who I want or who I think is entirely different. I think who I think,
two different things.
Yeah, I know. like who I think is going to end up. I do think it's going to be a McLaren strong podium. That would be my expectation, especially based on how the track is laid out in Monza. However, who would I want? I think, honestly, I would love to see I would love to see a rookie take the podium again, because that's always exciting. And I really have no preference. I think that, you know, we have such a strong rookie, we have such strong rookies on the grid, whether it would be Bortoleto, whether it would be Behrmann. I mean, I really feel like, or Antonelli, I think that it would be nice to see a rookie on the podium once again. Although that's what I want, not what I think. And I think what I would also want is it would be nice, like I said, to see Ferrari on the podium. And I think it would be...
You can have everybody on the podium, SM. I don't know.
Well, there is three places, right? I didn't specify where. But I would say what I would want to win the race, it would be pretty amazing, and what a story it would be if Lewis Hamilton won Monza this year in a Ferrari after with grid penalties and with most recently the ups and downs that he has had. That would be a story to tell.
Yeah, that would indeed be a story. I just have a feeling that in his current qualifying form and with the grid penalties, it's better to place your money on Leclerc, which I would still love to see. I mean, a Ferrari win in Monza, that would be amazing to see one. And yeah, that would help this season a little bit. But I think we're getting to the point where our conclusion is anyway that we don't know what's going to happen. So let's just wait and see. There's not too much time left to get into it. We're on Monday now, and it's time to make your predictions in only a couple of days. So I wish both of you good luck with that. Thank you for coming on, Luis. It was very nice to have you on. It was very nice that you could finally rematch Sam and actually get a win out of that. And always nice to talk to you and hear your view on things in the world of Formula One. So thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you guys for having me. Really happy to be here, really excited, and hoping that we have a really awesome Monza Grand Prix. So hoping that we could see another Ferrari win. Remember that last year, Charles Leclerc was the winner in Monza, and will be like really lovely to see Ferrari, the Tifosis, like celebrating with Hamilton or Leclerc in Monza. So hoping to see an awesome race. It's my favorite circuit of the calendar, so really excited to watch this race.
Well said. I think that we all can collectively agree we're definitely looking forward to it.